Amen, amen. Lord, amen, amen. Pretty day. Do you realize that November's almost over? I don't know why I'm having such a problem with that, but it's like, oh my gosh. I thought last month was June. Anyway, I don't want to miss the opportunity of embarrassing somebody, but so just bear with me, and just want to let you know that today is Josh and Claire's 1 year anniversary. Anyway. I was kind of just thinking the flip side of that, but that's all right. Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love and how you teach us and guide us and through all things. And so, God, we just praise you. Praise you for our salvation. Praise you that you touched us and brought us to know you. We thank you for that, God. And I pray just you'd open our minds and hearts to the message this morning, that you would speak to us, and that truly we would be able to step out with power on what you're showing us. And Lord, we know that if anything's done well, it's because you do it. And so we have our eyes set upon you and want to follow you through all things. So I pray you anoint me to just speak words of the Spirit and have each heart open. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You notice the message, a title? I told you how hard I work on these titles, you know. Anyway. But you really ought to remember this one as we go through this message, because it'll help. It'll help tie things together. And so that's my word. Okay. But productivity. I want you to think about productivity as we go through this. So we're going to start off this morning. As you know, we're going through the book of James. Turn to James chapter 2, verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18. And it says this. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, you wouldn't believe how much discussion this verse has in fundamental believing Christianity. And because we know we're saved by faith, no works at all. I mean, that's an absolute that's, you know, doesn't change at all. Now, so this message, as we look at this scripture, very, thus saith the Lord, he's teaching us here. This message is not, we're going to see this message is not about following rules, but about productivity. There's a difference, okay? I'm working my way to heaven and just being productive in our Christian life. So this is not about following rules, but about productivity. Productivity of the royal law of love. Okay, you just see the kind of the conflict there, the productivity of the royal law of love. And so how this works together, and he's going to explain it to us right here. So now previously, you know, in our discussion, even in James and in the scripture, we see where salvation and the fulfillment of the law and love have been stated. Okay, so we've gone over that, you know, over and over. Salvation is locked in. We're not going to revisit that. And how we walk in love, how we're going to walk in that. In fact, we spent a lot of time last week, and we're talking about, you know, brought to light how it says several times in the Bible, says the law, all of it, the law is fulfilled in love. Done. One of it just says the law is filled in one word, love. So you say, what do I need to do to come to Christ and do what he says? You love. That's it. There's nothing else. You have that one focus, and that's the motivation, and that's what we walk in. And then when we're judged as believers, it talks about before in 2 Corinthians 5, 5:10 would come before the Bema seat of Christ, believers that are in heaven, and says we're going to be judged based on what? The royal law, love. That's it. So the to-do list for Christians is love. All right. So all that's been said, all that has been said, and all God's people said, amen. Then what is he doing with this verse, you know, here? See, all that is true. Salvation is settled. Walking in love is settled. You know, however, our faith should produce physical actions from the power within us. It should do. It should produce something. It should produce actions from the power that is within us. And so the question is whether we will make the decision to do what we are told in order to release the power within us. Okay? So when you start putting all these things of the scriptures together, God's going to do what he's going to do. Okay? He doesn't need any help. But he also, you know, works through us to do what he wants to do. Amen? Well, to cooperate with him working through us to do what he wants to do with us, we have to make a decision based on what he says. You know, it's my son, he has such a vivid scriptural imagination. And he looked at the walk with the Lord. He says, my walk with the Lord's like Jonah. I'm just going to get puked up on shore. That's funny. Go ahead, laugh at it. He's funny kid. But there's an element of us, that's what we think. Okay, we're going to get there. We'll just get puked up on shore, you know. I just want to let you know, by the way, that's what the whale did to Jonah. He puked him up on shore. See? And then he went and did what he did. Well, we said we wouldn't do that. But yeah, if we don't make a decision from God and say, well, he'll just do it, it doesn't work. That's not how he intended it to work. What he does, he comes from within, and he shows us, and we make a decision. And when we make a decision, that power flows out. That's how there's a cooperation between us and God, the cooperation. So the question is, will we make the decision? Will we make the decision to do what God says and release that power within us? Now, as we look at this, you know, we're going to go back to verse 14. Well, I don't have an overhead here, but we're going to go back to verse 14, and we're going to see God's plea with us to physically act out our faith. God is saying, I want you to act out your faith. He's telling us. He's trying to give us an understanding of what to do in life to release God to do what he wants to do and cooperate with him with what he wants to do. So I'm going to use the New Century Version Bible, which is kind of an amplified Bible, but it states in such a good way when we talk about what he's talking about being productive in our Christian life. Again, salvation settled, walk in love settled. But he says, now, I want you to be productive. I want you to hear what I say. I want to do it. I want a cooperation with you as we do things. And so here's what the New Century Version says. And this is chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. It says this. My brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? A brother or a sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, God be with you, hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat, but you do not give what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. In the same way, faith by itself that does nothing is dead. And what he said, I'm saved, you know, absolutely, you know, cleansed by the blood of Christ. I'm walking in the love of God. You know, I'm loving everybody, loving God, you know. And I just don't get around doing anything, you know. And he goes, there's no productivity in your life, there's no evidence in your life, your faith in me that you're walking out in this world, it's nothing. Now that's what he's saying. That's what he's actually saying. So that's how he's made that transition of us cleansed by the blood, belief, no works whatsoever, trust in Christ. We walk in love, showing love, you know, and that's it. And I know some of you at the end of the message last week said, well, you got to do something, you know. Well, that's what we're doing. That's what we have this morning. You go to the next verse. It's like, no. That love working within us brings us awareness of stuff, and we make those decisions, and then what happens? There's productivity. There's evidence of the faith that lives within us. So this is what this whole section here is saying. And so it's fascinating. So as we look at this, this is really important to how we approach, you know, the Christian life as a whole. How do we approach the Christian life working within our communities? And how do we live this life of faith? Amen? How do we live out the life of faith and be productive as God meant us to be productive? And did you know all of us do different things, and we have different gifts, and some of us do one thing, some of us do another, and then sometimes they don't cross over because we're different people, we're made different ways. And we get to compare, well, this is holiness based on what people do. I said, no, wait a minute. This is based on what God is telling you to do, and you walk in what God is showing you, and the power is released in you in doing what God's showing you. You. Now, I just humorous things interject. We had a great time, was a few Sundays ago, and we had some ladies come, and there's some good shepherds, and it was showing them how to work on cars and stuff like that, just simple things like oil, little things they could do so they could tell them. And a lot of it's mostly guys, very gifted, productive in that area, went and showed them. You know, God bless them, right? I just want to confess to you, I didn't even go outside. I stayed in here with women and just chatted because I've been totally worthless outside, getting in the way, you know. So, ain't like that. But I don't feel convicted at all. It's just not my gift. Not happening. You can ask Linda, you know, my wife. It's just not happening. But it's just an example. You have, and then you have the body of Christ working together, and it's very productive. And so it's talking about productive, being productive here. So, but I think what we need to look at, because what it talks about it's talking about people that have faith. It's talking about people in the church. It's talking about belief. These are people that have faith. Well, to do this, we need to understand what faith is. I just think in your mind, what is faith? Well, the Bible tells us what faith is, you know, and the substance of it. Oh, you know, I'll just have faith, you know, that, you know, somebody will pay my electricity and, you know, I'll never have to worry about it. I'll just have faith. Well, who told you that? You know, and God didn't tell you, anybody else didn't tell you. So that's not faith at all. That's foolishness. Now, but what is faith? So what is faith? You know, you see people go through a hard time. They say, well, just have faith. In what? What do you mean have faith? See, faith means something. And so to do this, you need to understand what faith is so that you can be an encouragement to others and point them in the right direction. So what is faith? Well, the best definition I see for myself is from Abraham. And Abraham in the Bible is called the man of faith. He's called throughout the scripture, the Apostle Paul, Romans, Galatians, he calls him the man of faith. So he's the picture that they have of faith. Well, what made Abraham different? Well, you go back in Genesis and you see where Abraham was declared a man of faith. And you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, which expresses Abraham's faith, and it says this. So here's the lesson of what faith is from Abraham, the man of faith. And I condensed the sentence a little bit here just to drive home the point. And it says this, Hebrews 11, 8. Abraham, when called, went. man of faith. What is that? When called, he went. He heard from God. He heard. God showed him something. Number one, showed him something. And then when he showed him, that's not faith. He just showed it. That's all he did. Showed him. He heard. Then what he did when God told him, then he went. And that's faith. The two together. That's faith. Faith hadn't changed. It has not changed one bit. Has not changed one bit. And so, therefore, faith is hearing God, then doing what God said. See, and it's not like what we saw the man in James chapter 1, verse 22, where he looked at himself in the mirror, and after he looked at himself in the mirror, he just walked away and forgot what he saw. That's not faith. See? Faith has two components, hearing God and doing what he says. You know, how many of us just do stuff and try to pull God in with it? You know, after there, I'm sure this is what God wanted. You know, and it doesn't work out well. Okay, so faith has two components. Hearing God, and this is for the church, so you can see why it's wrapped up in the church, okay? Because the church has the scriptures, the relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so God says, I'm speaking to you. And when we hear, we should act on what he told us. You know, salvation is by faith. What is salvation? You hear, Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the penalty for your sins, you're totally forgiven. I hear that. Then he says, now you trust in that and do. And you know what your work is? The work is do not add anything to it. Don't you do one thing. You trust me. And that's faith. He told us. And then we trust him alone, and we don't try to add anything to it. That's our work. It's not to add anything to it. Amen? Okay, so that's how our salvation is. And I love it. It says in Colossians, says, as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. Okay, hear him, and then do what he says. See, it's incredible how repetitious the Bible is. Now, and so when you have this, faith in this whole, you know, section here of James that can be challenges. If we take out hearing, faith, if we take out hearing, it's not faith. If we take out hearing, it's not faith. If we take out doing, it's not faith. It's not faith. And so faith is godly productivity. Faith, godly productivity, requires both hearing and doing. Okay, amen? You know, and again, there's a lot of review for us here, but this section of Scripture really needs a good understanding of other things so we can have the correct interpretation of what it says. So now let's look at this, the next slide, but this verse 2:18 again, and when it reads like this, 2:18 with the that one. And it reads something like this. But someone will say, you have faith. Now I just put half of faith was hearing, you know, because when you say, I got faith, I heard something. But it's just really in this connect, it's just the half of faith. But someone will say, you have faith, hearing, and I have works doing, actually doing what I'm told. Show me your faith hearing apart from your works doing, and I will show you my faith hearing by the works I am doing. I actually did what God told me to. Let's all unify and go, oh! You see, oh, okay. That's the point he's making here. You know, it's not that faith is, there's works wrapped up in faith. He said, no, wait a minute. If you have faith, you're hearing something, then it produces a productivity within you, and you do what God tells you to do in your life. And this is what he's talking to believers. It's kind of like, Katie, I felt bad for you and Adam when I wrote this down here because you have two sons, and I wasn't picking on Tyler and AJ. I wasn't. I almost changed it, but I couldn't think of anybody with two boys, and instead of going through the time and changing, I just left it. All right, so I'm not picking on Tyler and AJ. Okay, so you have two sons on the couch watching TV, okay? All right. You have two sons on the couch watching TV. Their mother asks them to clean up their room. They both hear. They say, okay, Mom, love you, Mom. One does nothing. The other one goes, cleans up the room. Which one's productive? Oh, gosh, I didn't expect you to put the name on that, but that's okay. That's good. That's even good. Now, too, you know, we were kind of, Tyler and AJ, you know, they made it. See, and so, but even after one cleaned up the room, one didn't. But you know what? They're both still Adam and Katie's sons. They love both of them still. One's just more productive than the other. You see what I'm saying? And this is what James is saying. You know, some believers are just not productive, you know. Not that would ever be anyone in this church, ever, you know. But so that point, which one is productive? See, productive faith is acting like Abraham. When called, he went. Truly faith with no actions is no faith at all. There's no faith at all. Now we may say, and this is the next verse. I just love the way God lays these things out. Here's the next verse. We may say, well, I believe God. You know, see, everybody's out there working on the car, and I say, well, I ain't going, and I believe God. You know, okay. And just in that area, my faith is not impressing anybody when I do that. But what he says here, faith with no actions, no faith at all. And say, we may say we believe God, but so do the demons. Ouch, that hurt. Look, if you will, James 2:19. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. You know, in the whole world, so someone who is absolutely convinced of God is Satan and the demons. They have no question. They have no question about it. Okay. Now, God is speaking to us and trying to teach us the things of himself. The demonic world has no question about it. And so he's making it, and his point is here, it's like, well, if you just say you believe and there's no works, that's what demons do. They believe he's there. There's no concern. There's no motivation to serve him or nothing. But they don't have any question that he's there. And so that's the example the scripture gives us. Now see, God who spoke the word, okay, the Bible, the spoken word, when he speaks the word, God, he speaks the word. And again, the word God spoke, it puts it in context what we believe as Christians and what we believe as a church. And the Bible says, in the beginning, you know what there was in the beginning, what the Bible says, in the beginning was. Anybody know what it is? God. Well, what? Nah, God. That's where you start. That's where you start. In the beginning, God. And then it says what? God spoke. And then everything came. So in the beginning, God spoke, created the universes. Now, here's the information. We know this, but we know. So we accept Christ as our Savior. And it says God comes and lives within us. Okay, we go, wow, great, you know. But it's like, no, this is the God who spoke and created the universe. I'm just going to ask you something. Just kind of logically ask you something. The God who created the universe comes and lives in you. You suppose something will happen. Just wild guess. Created the universe. Ooh, he comes to live within you. There's a transformation that takes place. There's a transformation that takes place from inside. I love what that one song Adam had. From the inside out. It comes from within. It comes from within. So God's indwelling us. Again, we're not Christians because we think different. Okay, we're Christians because Christ indwells us. That's what makes us a Christian. Now, he'll make us think a difference, but don't get the cart before the horse. Now, God's indwelling requires us to make a decision, to be productive, to accomplish something. You know, and I've heard people say, well, I don't know. We just make the decision. I don't care who makes the decision. Who's that problem? That's your problem. You don't blame that on God. Your flesh, your lack of obedience, your lack of understanding, and lack of trusting. But don't put that off on somebody else. You got an issue. And he said, no, if you believe and you trust, then you step out. You believe, you trust, you step out. And God is like over here, and this is, you know, forgive me my little antics here. God is over here, okay. Okay. And we're thinking, okay, I love him. You move, God. You move. And you do this move. You do. Jeez. I mean, I created the whole universe without you. Without you. What I'm trying to do is get you in gear to join me, you know. Take a step. You know what to do. Take that step and what to do. And then I'll move. And then you'll see. You say, oh, my God. You see, what he's doing, he's teaching us, he wants us to understand in what this point, he said, if there's some productivity, it means you're hearing something and you've taken some steps and something has happened. And I'm really tickled pink. You know, I don't know if God says he's really tickled pink or not, but he is really tickled pink, you know, that we believe what he said and took a step. That's faith, because we took the step, you know. He spoke. He said, all right, take a step again. Because he's pulling us into his realm of functioning in this world. See, we're part of it. We're part of it. People, how many of you said, gosh, I just wish God would come and he would do something. And you know what he says? He's talking to the angels. You realize that I'm making some of this stuff up, okay? You know, a little ad-lib. But it's like, you know, so I wish the world, I wish things would change. Why don't God have changed? And he goes, well, I am there. He looked over at Gabriel and said, I don't know why they keep saying that. Be there, I am there. And said, well, God, what's your method to change the world? What's your method? And the Bible tells us. The Bible says it. His method to change the world is the church. Now, my response to that, I say, God, what's plan B? I mean, us? He goes, yeah, you. You're the ones that I've put to change the world. And he said, well, what am I supposed to do? He goes, how about start with what I'm telling you? And if we do it, then we become productive. And so his church is the church all around the world, you know, and loosely, I think they said there's 2.5 billion Christians or something. I don't know. It's a bunch. You know? And he goes, I just want you to hear me and do what I say. I'll take care of the rest of it. I'll take care of the rest of it. I shouldn't go here, but I'm going to go here anyway. It's just fun. I'm not going to mention the names, but just names you would know. And so these two commentators were on the little show, and they're talking to each other. And it really blew my mind. And I'm just going to summarize it. And they said, I don't know what this is, but God's moving in the world. Stuff's happening. Stuff's happening. Both of them said, one of them said, I was raised in the church all my life. I just didn't even see reason going. And so it was situation, he says, I thought, read the Bible. He said, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what it had said in there. That's just how he said it. You wouldn't believe what that says. There's something else going on. And then the other person goes, I know the same thing, and said, I'm also reading some of that stuff is hard, but I can't believe all that stuff is happening. But then you see, and what they said was really puzzled me, interested me, and he says, you see it all over the country. I just see you guys and you're doing good, but I'm not seeing. And I thought, well, that's strange. Well, why is that strange? Why is it? It's not strange. It's not strange. But so here's what we have. And God says, I'm calling you to have faith. And by the way, it's a faith like Abraham. So we got that, and we know what that is. God called, and he went. And you know what else? And this is something else that God wasn't through with Abraham. He wasn't through with it. He called, and he went. And that was like, wow, you know? But he kept doing it to Abraham. He kept telling him stuff. And Abraham kept having to do it. And each time God called him, and he did it, then God did more. You know, it's like, gosh, there's a lesson there. There's a lesson there. So God's indwelling requires us to make a decision. Oh, where's God? Make a decision and you'll see where God is. Make a decision. I don't see God working. You ain't making the decision. I don't see that. You ain't making the decision. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Don't blame God. Because he is moving in all people all time. God's indwelling requires us to make a decision, to be productive, and to accomplish something. Okay. Here's another time God spoke to Abraham. Now, I don't have an overhead here, and I compressed the verses, a couple of verses here together. But in James 2, 21 through 22, God speaks again to Abraham. Says this, Abraham, when told to offer up his son Isaac on the altar, that faith was active along with his works. He heard, he did it. Now that's after being called. He said, okay, Abraham, offer up your son Isaac on the cross, on the altar. On the altar, that faith was alive. He did. That means he did what he heard. He did what God told him. Where did faith come from? Who told him? He heard God. See? And then he says, okay, I'll do what you said. Now, what's interesting here, we may recoil at God's request and at Abraham's obedience to sacrifice his son. I mean, you just step back and say, you gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. But that's what happened. Who's called the man of faith? Abraham. And there's a reason he was called the man of faith. I mean, this is tough sledding right here. All right? This is tough. And you think, oh my goodness. So, like I said, as hard as it is to understand, there is still much to be learned from this. There's a whole bunch to be learned from this situation. Okay, now first of all, we know from historically, first of all, we know this was a one-time, never-to-be-repeated situation. At one time, never be repeated. In fact, the Bible even says in that, never do that. Absolutely never do that. After God asked Abraham to, he said, you don't ever do that. So it's a one-time, never-to-be-repeated situation. Now, also in this section, we learn in the New Testament, this was to serve as a type of Christ, this whole situation, to help us understand God giving his son to die on the cross. It was a picture. Now give up your son to die on the cross. And it was a picture that's used over in the Old Testament to communicate that very thing. So it was a type of Christ. And then also we see there, God, after Abraham committed to do that, God said, okay, stop. Here's a lamb. Sacrifice the lamb. Okay. But Abraham almost committed. If God hadn't said stop, he would have done it. But he stopped him. You know, he did it because God said so. But my goodness. So, you know, one time, but the magnitude of this request is a little overwhelming as we look at it. But Abraham, the man of faith. But personally make some application. Personally make an application. God is asking us for the same faith. He's asking us for the same faith. And when we see he's asking us the same faith, we see the magnitude of believing faith, hearing God, and doing what he says. There's the magnitude. Well, this is too much. He says, you ain't seen nothing. You see what Abraham did? This is what you got to do is nothing compared to Abraham. Not one thing. See, that's who you're seeing. So we're learning, we're seeing in this whole section of the magnitude of faith. And again, we're already saved because of the magnitude of what Jesus did. He paid the penalty on the cross. But he says, now I want you to be productive. And there's a certain amount of magnitude in saying, I want you to be productive. I'm going to tell you something, I want you to believe, and I want you to do it. And it really is important that you do it. You don't know how important it is right now. You do it. But everything in your future of your life is going to depend on this a step. I mean, that's what he's saying. So you think, oh my goodness. Now the next verse is really interesting in how, and when we see a fruit of what Abraham did, like we're going, oh my gosh, the fruit of what he did. The next verse, Abraham in verse 23, it says this. Abraham was called the friend of God. He said, hey, you know, friend, you meet somebody 24 hours, you go out and do something. How you're a good friend, you don't see them for 6 months, you know. No, there's a certain commitment in this friendship. There's a certain commitment. No, I asked him to do the impossible, and he did it. He's my friend because he's there. He's the one I depend on. He's the one the line of Christ will come through. He's the one that I'm going to work through the entire world. He's my friend. And he tells us to have faith because he wants us to be a friend. A friend. Now you say, well, God, I mean, he saved me. I'm saved like that. I'd be a friend. I don't know this is a difference, but he seems to think there is, you know. That you're a friend, that you're his friend. That's what he calls it, your friend. So when God tells us to do something, we need to do it. We need to do it, but we need to hear God first. We need to do it. And so look at James 2:24. And it's all in context. This is the flow here. James 2:24. You see that a person is justified. Now, justified means like declared righteous, productive. Okay? You see that a person is justified by works, doing what he's told, and not by faith, just hearing alone. Now, you can see my additions up there in parentheses, but I think that they're adequate. Okay? You see, that person, my friend, is justified, declared righteous, productive by what he's doing and not by just hearing alone. He does what I ask him. I mean, it's like, whoa. Now, I want to touch on some stuff. The word justified here, the word justified, this does not mean justified for salvation. We are justified in Christ, declared righteous because we trust in Christ. We're just made that way because we trusted in him, okay? Well, it's the same word, but this word can be used for lots of different things. You know, it can be applied to all sorts of different. The word in and of itself by itself is holy. It's not. You know, it's just, it just means to be productive and declared righteous. You know, so the word may be applied to various actions of a person in different situations, okay? Difference, and this is a different situation. And as you see here, a person that is justified, successful, that a person who's justified and successful, it's by works and by doing, and not by faith, just hearing. You heard, but when you do it, then you're justified on your actions. See, on your action. Oh, God, yeah, you just, because you did it. You did it. You left the country and went there. You did it. So it's a justification when we've been being productive, when we do what God tells us. All right? Now, listen to carefully in this section of Scripture. Okay, this goes from 18 through 26, I think. Just one verse after another. Just one verse after another. Okay. You'll notice in this whole section, now this is important, in this whole section, it does not talk about keeping the law. Ever once. Never talks about keeping the law. It's amazing how many people read this. Well, this means keep the law. No, it doesn't. It doesn't say anything about it. Now, other places in the Bible says loads about it. So I think if God wanted to say something about it, he'd say something about it here. He doesn't, because he's not talking about keeping the law. He doesn't even mention. What he is talking about, listen closely, what he is talking about is specifically hearing God and doing specifically what he tells us to do. You see? That's what it is. Now see, that makes it individually productive. And to individually show someone productive, individually he told somebody something he's never going to ask anybody else to do. Abraham, sacrifice your son. Oh, praise Jesus. That was one deal. But it was independently of everything else. This is what he asked. That's what he asked of Abraham. So this hearing is specifically what God shows us to do, and that's productivity. Now, here's proof of it, and the Bible, this section shows us the proof of it, and he shows us by Rahab. Anybody know who Rahab was? She's a sweetheart. She was a sweetheart. Okay, I mean, the Israelites are going to invade, you know, Canaan down there, and she's in Jericho, right? So she's in there, and so they're sending spies. They're surrounded. The pagans here, they know they're going to get destroyed. These crazy, you know, Israelites are coming in here. My goodness. And they don't know what's going on. They absolutely do not know what's going on. It's an invasion. They just don't know much about these people, except there's a bunch of them. So let's look at what listen to what this is about Rahab. First James 2:25. Now this is in James. It's flowing down, talking about the same thing, the same context here. James 2:25. And in the same way was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. Rahab. And the they use Rahab. You know, see, as a pagan, Rahab doesn't even know there's a law. She didn't know. She's like, this ain't going to work out good, okay? And she sees what's happening, okay? She doesn't even know there's a law. But she was justified because we sent the spies. She hit them and sent them out. So she was justified. See? Rahab is listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Rahab. Oh, I want to be godly like Abraham. How about godly like Rahab? Well, I'm shooting a little higher than that. You know. But that, he uses Rahab. Said, look, this is who I'm looking for. You know, an obedient, productive Rahab. It's like. Now, here's the. How he wraps this up. He wraps this whole section up. Now, productivity, your Christian life, being productive in your Christian life. James 2:26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith, just hearing apart from works, doing, is dead. See, it's just like, no, you have any faith. Well, if you do, there's evidence. I'm just saying there's evidence. Well, what I do? God said, you do what I told you to do. See, God didn't tell me I had to go help with those cars. I'm so glad he did. Now, I think I might have went. I really wonder if, you know, expect the, you know, overcoming of the Holy Spirit or something to go out there, you know, because nobody wanted me out there either, you know. See, but it's hearing and doing. It's being productive in our Christian faith. being productive. Now, productivity. You know, and here, I'm going to just give you two quick. And for this reason, you should read the scripture. You should come to church. You should understand the things of God. So we can understand what God's saying. Because he's talking all the time. He's talking all the time. And it helps us to understand what he's saying. And then we cooperate with him. Like, I'll just throw this one at you. And this is in the scripture. This applies to everybody. You know, in the scripture it says that you don't work, you don't eat. That's a good memory verse. You ought to try that with the kids. Just tell the kids, you don't work, you don't eat. That probably would work. Okay, likewise, you know, I think, when Katie got up, he shared about, due on Thanksgiving, trying to feed families in need, and move to do that. That's a productivity. We're not doing that necessarily. Okay, God, you know, to earn, a place in heaven, but it's like, no, the Lord laid it on their heart, and we've all cooperated to come. That's being productive. To help those in need that's been laid on our heart. It's like, oh, we've got 15 families in the whole universe. But if every church in the world of 2-something billion, it pretty could cover a lot of people. But that's not a sense, you've got to do this or you're not a good person, not a good church. No. The Lord will put it on. He'll tell you. He'll show you to do that. And when you do it and he shows you, he will have other things to come in on top of that to verify it and help you to complete what he told you to do. See? And so this is what you need to be productive. You need to do something. Now, he leaves us with a verse. This other verse, okay, this is for all of us. I can speak with honesty. This is for all of us. At being productive, look at what it says in Romans 10:15. Romans 10:15. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. That's productivity. That's productivity. Those who preach the good news. We are saved to serve, and the paramount element in that service is to bear witness of the saving power of Christ. Consider every encounter is a divine appointment. Listen and speak. That's for the whole church. Whole church. Everything's a divine encounter. Listen, God, speak. You share. And this productivity comes from doing what God tells us. And power is released. And look, I won't give you a verse in this. It's a divine appointment. He's here, and then share and speak, and he empowers. Listen to what Jesus told the disciples, Mark 13:11. Don't be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. You just need to go out, meet somebody here, and speak. Oh, this is too hard. No, you're chicken. I mean, it just is. It just is, Hey, we have a chance to move out in the magnitude of God. Oh, Jesus. They may not like me, But, and two, it's really simple. The thing, we complicate everything. Y'all seem to enjoy that term, but I'm the reason we complicate because we are chicken. See, we're scared, so we complicate it like that so we don't look chicken. Keep it simple. And it's just like Acts 4:12. Keep it simple. There is salvation in no one else but Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. 100% across the board. That's the foundation. That's where you start. That's where you start. Then we go, then Mark 13:11 kicks in. What do I say? Holy Spirit will give you what to say based on who that person is. Because all people are different. They all need to hear different things. See? Like that. But this never changes. Acts 4:12. In every conversation. Never start a conversation and go into any argument without starting here first. here first. Then you can find out if people are interesting to hear. The power that created the universe lives within us, lives within us, so we should be productive. We just got to be. It would just be hard. It's like we got to run around trying not to be productive. It's just like that. Just like holding down 15 balls and trying to hold them underwater. Gosh, if I let them go, I'm going to be productive. I got to cover these things up. That's literally what is being said here and how God looks upon it. Trust me, I'll tell you something. Whatever I tell you, I'll multiply it if you'll just listen and do what I say. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you that we can look at it and just the whole, how you bring everything together, how we've just spoken so much about being saved, that we are saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a home in heaven. Just walking in love is fulfilling the entire Old Testament law when we walk in love. And then you're just saying, now I'm going to speak. Just believe what I say, and you'll be productive. Just believe what I say. Step out, and you'll be productive. Christianity is so simple. So simple. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we thank you, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.